And welcome back to another episode of the Oner Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where we break down and review films and TV shows sometimes, all in one big, long, unbroken take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
Oh boy, the year was 1983. Yep. In Hawkins, Indiana. It's a true story. I don't know, like four or five best friends stumbled upon a telekinetic girl out in the woods who really liked Eggo waffles after their friend Will got taken by a demon sorcerer to Dimension X or something.
Different dimension. Well, yes. Yeah.
They just keep retconning the lore as the seasons go on.
They did. They did.
But the show is the phenomenon that is Netflix's Stranger Things has come to a close. I mean, like, who hasn't watched it? Spoilers, obviously, in this episode. We didn't do a first thoughts. We didn't do a spoiler free. We're going to be talking primarily about season 5 of Stranger Things and our thoughts on that, but also just sort of like our thoughts on the show overall. Yeah. The first thing I think we should talk about is just like how hard it is to end a great TV show.
Yes.
Like, can you, off the top of your head, like, how many great endings can you think of for TV shows in the last 50 years?
I cannot think of one great one. I can think of two good ones, which were Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
You only think those are good?
Yeah. Great. And maybe I'd have to watch them again, because I think they're way better than everybody else. But it's so interesting, the ending of a TV show as opposed to the ending of a movie. The ending of a movie, it can be like, oh my gosh, that ending saved the entire movie.
Sure.
But almost every ending to TV shows is kind of like, well, that kind of ruined the rest of the show for me. You know, like, it's such a weird thing to end a TV show. So Better Call Saul and like Breaking Bad, I was like, okay, that was good. Yeah, that was good. Like, it's hard to land that plane. Breaking Bad, that was what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul, I actually like Better Call Saul a little bit more than Breaking Bad, just because Saul's a much more likable character. But
yeah, a lot of people feel that way. And I watched all of it because so many people told me what an amazing show it was, and I really enjoyed it. But by the end of it was just kind of like, I actually felt the way that a lot of people feel about Vince Gilligan shows, where they're like, he really takes his time. I felt at the end of Better Call Saul that there was like at least two seasons worth of filler, where I just was like, I think this could have been accomplished with like two or three seasons. Like, which I can't remember what they did. They did like four or five seasons. And I was like,
yeah, I think they did five. Yeah.
Yeah. And Breaking Bad, I actually felt like made better use of the five seasons. I really felt like the journey that we go on with Walter White and his transformation into Heisenberg, and then even trying to come back and buy himself a little bit of redemption by the end of his story, was fit more neatly into the five season format. Whereas I think the thing with maybe Better Call Saul with me is that we all know where it's going. Like, we all know at the end.
Yeah. You know? Well, we did, but we didn't really know. Well, at least there was that little section, you know, at the end that
they give a little bit of.
I totally get that. I think. But again, we're debating about it, right? Like, these are really good. But it's also I don't think of a great ending like I think of The Prestige. Like, oh my gosh, that blew my mind, you know, like, or any other movie. Like, it's just really hard. I know Game of Thrones is one of the biggest shows on TV in the past however many years, and I know very, very few people who thought it was good. Thought it was horrible.
I think Game of Thrones is the shining example of how TV endings can actually sort of put a sour taste in your mouth about the rest of the show.
Oh, that absolutely.
For a lot of people, like, I was a huge Game of Thrones fan, and for a lot of people, it's like, why would I even bother doing a rewatch knowing where it's all leading in seasons 7 and 8? Like, why would I even bother?
That's, you know, I have never watched the show, and what you said is kind of why I don't care about.
Why would I even start? If there's,
it's kind of like, yeah, it's like everybody hated it. Like, I don't know. So, I mean, maybe
it doesn't matter how many
spot, but
it doesn't matter how many amazing episodes there are along the way. If it,
yeah,
You know, how do you feel about the Seinfeld series finale? Because a lot of people have mixed feelings about that.
Seinfeld is a great one to bring up because I actually like Seinfeld. I like the ending. I think it's actually pretty funny how they ended it.
I like it.
I like it, but it is just almost like a recap episode of like, here's whatever. But it was a great way for them to kind of like to show like these people are horrible. Look at all the horrible things they've done. I mean, in a funny way, we love them and everything. But yeah, I thought it was good actually. I liked it.
Well, I really like it. And it's quite absurd. It's quite And there's a lot of like absurd things in Seinfeld throughout its 10 season run. And I think it's like, you look at that, it's like, well, what are we supposed to do? How are we? And what's funny is like Larry David basically repeated himself with his most recent season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which Curb Your Enthusiasm has had several series finales. There have been several times where they went, this is it, we're done. And then they came back like 4 or 5 years later. And this most recent time they did a big like courtroom thing where Larry David was being, and like Jerry Seinfeld has to like come and be like a character witness on his behalf and stuff, you know, like, and they basically are like repeating the Seinfeld finale, but like they were sort of doing it like knowingly and, you know, which pretty I great. Also thought was like fun. And, you know, they do a whole thing on a plane, just like that, you know, and I don't know. I just kind of think that like Seinfeld is a show that like, what were they supposed to do? And that's the problem with I think the ending of Seinfeld shows us the issue with trying to end a sitcom, a situational comedy with character. Every new and it's so episodic. It's not, there's not a whole lot of continuity. You know, every once in a while you've got like a little bit of like, here's the arc where Jerry and George are making the show on NBC and George is dating Susan. And, you know, but a lot of the time it's like the show was built for you to be able to drop in on any random episode. You don't need to know what happened the episode before. You don't need, you know, you just can pop in and just, and Jerry's dating some random woman and he's got some weird Seinfeldian problem with her, like man hands or Two Face or, you know, whatever. Lighting. Bad lighting.
Lighting on the porch.
But like, how are you supposed to wrap that up? And I think to just do a recap of like, well, here's everyone these people ever wronged.
No, I think it's pretty brilliant. I think that's why with Stranger Things, because I've like, there's very few great shows that have ended. You got to kind of lower your standards. And I feel like I did that for Stranger Things, which was good for me because I enjoyed it. But the I'm so sorry. I totally just lost my train of thought.
I think that what we're talking about here with in terms of how hard it is to land the plane of a long series, and because it's also not everyone, especially in the American market, gets the opportunity to end their show. Many shows get canceled before they even get to the point where so to even make it to the finish line is a place where a lot of these big episodic stories never actually get. And because it's so rarely finishes in a way that's like incredibly satisfying, you do have to just sort of let the chips fall where they may and just sort of accept whatever ending the writing staff can come up with.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say is that the thing that I liked about this ending is they got to do what a lot of people don't get to do, which is they had a very long ending for the characters. I mean, it was probably a little too long, right? Like the first hour was basically killing Vecna. The second hour was like, here they are now.
Argue it was significantly too long.
Yes, I agree. I think that was kind of the theme for season 5. Everything was a little
Was too long.
Yes. But I liked the emotional aspect of it, that like, we're going to take some time to let you know what's happening with these characters. Cause like so many times a TV show will end and the climax is, you know, at the very end of the show. And then they have like 5 minutes to wrap everything up, and then it never feels satisfying. Whereas this, I was like, okay, I can see where these characters could go. I'm happy with where they are. I feel an emotional closure with these characters. Even though the ending may not have been as grand and, you know, didn't land the plane first, but I felt good about the ending for the characters.
I want to talk about this ending because okay. It's like, this is the most recent episode and it's like kind of a movie, you know, like they put it years, they made $20 million. But before we leave this conversation about just other TV shows, I just want to name a few just notable exceptions. And
okay.
I've never actually seen this show, but I've just heard from lots of people that Six Feet Under has a very satisfying conclusion.
That's okay.
Like,
that's good.
One of the, it's like very beloved by most of the people who watch that show, that it, and it feels very thematically correct. Also, I think that people have come around to feeling like the way that The Sopranos ended was like bold and cool and like original. And instead of trying to go, and now we're gonna wrap up, all, they just went and the end. You know, like just mid-set. You know, show's over. That's it. Yeah, that's the end of this story. And I kind of think that's interesting. I also like, I would put the ending of the original run of Arrested Development in there. A lot of people didn't want the show to get canceled, but I think that looking back, it's like, I think it's good that it didn't go on too long. I think that
three seasons was good enough.
Three seasons is what allowed them to tell like act one, act two, act three story, get out of there before they ruin it. And it can like be etched in history as like one of the greatest TV shows of all time. And I would argue, and I think a lot of people would agree, that the additional Netflix seasons kind of like put a damper on the legacy of the show. It's like, I know that we all wanted more seasons of that, but like it did have an ending and it was. And like, and the show is great. Like those first three seasons are regarded as like, one of, you know,
this is a strange one.
Yeah.
This is one that I liked. News Radio. Did you ever watch News Radio?
I did watch that, but I don't remember the ending to it.
The ending was an accidental ending because they like all pack up and are going to move to a different city. And in the next season, they were actually going to go to the city, but then they canceled the show. So it was like, it was just an ending to the show. But anyway, that kind of was like, oh, that just seemed like a fitting ending for this show. Anyway, but that, yeah, it's.
I like that. Oh, I was going to say, I don't hate the ending to Friends. I think they do like as good of a job as they can. I mean, that show had jumped the shark so many times in its last like three or four seasons. Like by the time Joey and Rachel were dating, it was like, okay, guys, like you can't just have everybody date like each other. But like, I think they found the spot that they put everyone where they should be by the ending, where it was like, where they all should be more or less. And then I would also say, when I would argue this, because I often make the argument that the MCU is just a big expensive TV show. I would argue that like they had a very good series finale in Avengers Endgame, and then they just couldn't stop. And so
that's kind of, well, and that's kind of the theme of all of this is like, I mean, here's the thing. Stranger Things is over, but it's not over. They're working on a spinoff right now.
Of course they are.
They could always bring back Eleven. Possibly, right? And it's like, just end the show. I thought about it for a second. I was like, what if Stranger Things ended with Vecna taking over and the whole world being destroyed? Like, would that be a good ending? Because I just, no one's ever done it. No one's ever like destroyed the world. And like, it's a bad ending and it's like no happy ending, but like, you're going really big, and that is a finale to a show. Like, you're not going to make any more of this show.
Hey, listen, that being said, because you're right. Like that, I mean, I think people would have rioted in the streets. If the Upside Down had like taken over Hawkins and the world and like, you know, he had smashed Dimension X into our world and destroyed the world, you know? But you're right. It's a choice that says done. We're done.
Yeah.
That being said, let's do talk about the ending of Stranger Things. Okay. I do just feel like obviously the big note of the entire season, and it's really the note of seasons 4 and 5 is you guys, enough with the overindulgences. Like it's so indulgent. It is so, there's so many moments where it's just like, can we please get on with, like, there's so many emotional beats where they're just, somebody's got to go in and like, we talked about this a little bit with Hamnet, where it's like Chloe Zhao just sort of let her actors off the leash and was like, hey guys, whatever you need to feel, whatever you need to experience.
Right.
And the difference is like Jesse Buckley and Paul Mescal are kind of world-class actors. So you're like, I'll watch them, switch for the fences for like a little bit too long and like, you know, kind of like an entire, but it's only the length of a film. But this is like actors who aren't entirely up to the task being given the most bandwidth to be so indulgently emotional, and the camera like just hanging on it for, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the middle of the last episode when Elle dies and makes her sacrifice,
right,
the like constant cutting to all the different characters screaming and crying and being held back by the military in slow motion and just like not being able to get off of all of their reactions to it, yeah. and just draw it's just, it was like the world's longest moment, and I just mm-hmm. was like, there's nothing wrong with these characters who have had this big long story together being sad that their friend is sacrificed.
I
get it. But it's just, it's like you just got to think like in the editing room, like let's trim it up a bit, guys.
Yeah.
And that's just one such, there's so many other moments like that throughout the entire season and throughout season 4 and 5, where it's like, we're not taking extra time here to fill in more details. We're just lingering on like people screaming in slow motion and crying. And we have so many cast members, so many principal cast members that we have to like do a close up of all of them. Yeah. And you know, it's like if as Tony Stark is putting, you know, is saying, I am Iron Man and about to snap Thanos and all of his, if all of the Avengers start screaming and crying and no, and they're all just no, Tony, Tony, you know, it's like, it would ruin the whole, it's like, I think the, all we need is like the moment of him with Pepper and then seeing them all at the funeral. And they're all just sort of standing there solemnly. And we get it. We don't need every one of, you know, and again, just like, I just feel like, I'm like, the Duffer brothers, I think, have a lot more respect for a lot of those actors than I do. Like, they're just like, they're like, we're going to let you all just, and I'm like, they're not good enough, guys. Like, they're not. and also just, I get it. They're sad. Let's go. Right. This is a two hour and 10 minute long episode of, we're only halfway through it. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, everything was too long in the season. You know, the season 4, I felt like it was too long, but it didn't feel, this season just felt drawn out. Like everything was like, okay, you made your point. Now you're just kind of lingering way too long. Season 4 just felt long, but it didn't feel like it was lingering. The biggest thing that, the biggest criticism that I have of season 5 is the look. The look is so much different than seasons 1 through 4. It feels much more clean, much more crisp, and like much less dirty, which I don't like. Like if you look at the first seasons, well, seasons 1 through 4, they're kind of gritty. And like, this was just like, everyone was lit really well. And like when Max is running through, you know, she's kind of like doing the, running up that hill again.
Sure.
Like she just looks really well lit and everything is kind of clear and crisp. And I'm like, I don't like that. Like I don't, it felt very different in a bad way.
Yeah. It almost feels like so much of the season was shot. You can feel that it was shot on sound stages and shot on volumes and stuff. Just, whereas like the earlier seasons have that tactile feel. It feels like they're shooting on film, even if they're not, it feels of the era. That was the thing, is like this show came out swinging so hard with that first season. And it, all season 5 really made me like long for is like it ended and I looked at Olivia and I was like, I kind of just want to watch season 1. Like I just like, I just want to like go back and just check, like, was it always like this? And I don't think it was. And you know, I think you're right. The look is a big thing. I was going to say also, like, obviously, yeah, the big note is it's taken too long, guys. Yeah. And you're right. In season 4, at least it's like they're doing what they did structurally with all the other seasons, which is usually in a Stranger Things season, it's little events that are building toward a big finale.
Right.
And they're all and they're all gonna like, and they're all disparate. They're all happening on different parts of the map of Hawkins and the Upside Down. And they're all coming together on a convergence point where they're all gonna meet at the season finale. And that's like the structure of But this season was like, from the first episode, they were like, it's the night of our final battle with Vecna. Yeah. It's all led to this. And then the whole season, every episode, they were like, tonight we end it. Tonight. Yeah. You know, like, and early on, I was like, wait, well, obviously not, because you have a whole season. But then like the vibe, the energy of the entire season was just people being at like finale level. Yeah. And everyone being ready for like the final confrontation instead of a season that builds toward a big final. So you just sort of get like emotionally worn down by it too. So by the time that you're in the last final fight, you're like, yeah, I feel like we've sort of been in this energy level the entire season. And we've, you know, and it's just a lot. But it also, I would say this, I wanted to talk about your idea of, what if Vecna takes over the world? Right, obviously, we can't do that. But I get what you're saying. My thought is, you gotta let some of these characters die. You gotta let there be a little more tragedy in this final season. Like this, Stranger Things is a show that has never really shied away from
killing people. Yeah,
the gore, the darkness, it's always had this sort of genre mix of like family friendly, watch it with your kids, but also like it's going to be pretty scary and violent sometimes, and there's going to be some adult language, you know. And I just felt like, as you talked about the look of season five, it's the tone as well. It just felt like everything got really sanitized and and like Disney-fied. And I just felt like all of our principal cast members just felt so incredibly safe to me.
Yeah.
I understand that the plot is putting them in peril, but I just was like a note that I would give from a writing perspective is like, find some moments to kill a few of these kids. Like, some of them, you know, it's the last season. Like if not now, when, you know, like, let's cut a few of these kids loose. Like Jonathan Byers could die like that. Like, you know, like he was kind of like a jerk the whole season. And like if he sacrifices himself in the goo room while he and Nancy are getting unengaged or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever that was.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like maybe he's, I don't know. Also like we never figured out what the goo was. The goo was just,
it was a plot device to get them stuck, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But I just think, in that vein of like, what if the bad guy wins? I'm like, yeah, I don't know that they need to take it that far, but I would say like, hey, could you would give the story some more stakes and make it more emotional for us as a farewell if some of our favorite characters don't make it to the end. Like, let's be a little bold here. And, you know, like, but, you know, 'cause again, like if Tony Stark can die, you know,
of course, they're bringing him back now. So
I know. Nobody's actually dead in these things.
No one ever dies.
You know, I watched a video earlier today. Sorry, I'm going to say one more thing. Somebody said this and I was like, they're totally right. They were like, it's not just the final season that they like missed opportunities to kill main characters off. They've missed opportunities like throughout. Like Hopper probably should have just died when he sacrificed himself at the end of season two. Like that probably just should have been the end of Hopper. Season three. That probably because he just sort of has not had a lot to do in the later seasons. He's just sort of like around, and he and Joyce both have gotten like really reduced down to this one note, just like overprotective parent thing. And they don't really do anything other than that, other than just be the adults that are like, you guys listen, you know? And I just think like, you gotta like along the way of a journey of a TV show, like we gotta lose some people, and the people that we lost in Stranger Things were always like characters that felt like sacrificial lambs that were introduced by the writing staff at the beginning of a season, where they'd be like, "Here's a character that we're gonna kill at the end of the season," you know? And
you could always kind of kill. I mean, that's kind of what Eddie was, you know. So
Eddie, great Sean character. Astin's character,
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, they were going to kill Steve. I did a video on that, and he was supposed to be kind of that character. But yeah, every season, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, this guy's probably not going to make it. He's new, and they're going to kill him or her.
And like, how about like they kill Matthew Modine off, and then they're like, we need a Matthew Modine character. So they just go and get They just go and get Sarah Connor. They're like, hey, what if we just have, what if we just put, what's her name?
Oh my gosh. Why is it?
I literally just blanked on it and I've been saying it.
I know.
All week.
It's rubbed off on me. Cause
I know totally I spread it to you. Yeah. But they're like, what if we just, the fact that they had her in the Matthew Modine haircut,
Linda Hamilton,
what a legend. How do I forget Linda Hamilton? But the fact that they just put Linda Hamilton in the Matthew Modine hair and they were just like, like Linda Hamilton's Matthew Modine this season. It's like, guys, what?
It was a very, she didn't have much to do. She seemed a little wasted as a character. These are all things that definitely could be better. They honestly probably as well, they could have ended it in season 4 and that might have been a little bit more satisfying ending. They'd have to make some changes, for me, there's definitely a lot of things wrong, but I overall enjoyed this season. I thought there was a lot of really good stuff about it. Yeah. Not that everything was perfect. This is definitely my least favorite season of the 5, but that doesn't mean I didn't like enjoy it. I got watch a lot of it with my son. He had gotten into it. He had a lot of fun. And like when Will does come back and he can control the Demogorgons, right? And like he kills them. I thought that was actually really, really cool scene.
Yeah.
And everything was done really well. There were some really good, emotional beats and some good action things and some scary things that are going, like Vecna's redesign. I really, really liked. I thought he looks way scarier in this season than he does in season 4. Season 4, he just looked like he was wearing like a suit.
like a Power Rangers villain.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know if that's working really well. But this one, I was like, ooh, this Vecna looks really good. It definitely was retcon, but there was a lot of things that I thought were good. Again, not my favorite season of all of them. It's my least favorite season, but I liked some of the things that they did do. I feel like in regards to ending a show, I think they did a really good job of ending this show. It's hard. It's a hard plane to land. They should have landed it earlier. It's kind of with most shows, but I actually really liked it. And here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to tell a story real quick. Sure. I'm pretty biased. And one of the reasons is because the Duffer brothers went to Chapman University.
And you went to Chapman.
I went to Chapman. I got my master's at Chapman. They were actually a few years before me. But I was in a class and I remember this still. Like I was sitting there and the teachers who have worked in the business before were like, oh yeah, the Duffer brothers were so great. This was in 2015. Okay.
Yeah.
This was before, or 2016, before the show had actually premiered.
It was right about to happen.
Yeah. It was like, cause I graduated in 2016 and it premiered right after I graduated. So I think this was in the beginning of 2016 and they were like, oh, the Duffer brothers, they were great. They made this crazy short film. We should show it to you guys. They're like, we should get the Duffer brothers here and have them help us make a movie. And the other teacher was like, nah, they've got some Netflix deal. Some like, I don't know, it's called like Strange Things or something. And I was like, for some reason, I've always remembered that. And then when it came out, that's awesome. I was like, hey, this is the guy. It's like, that's the closest that I ever got to this show. But like, so that always makes me like the show. And it's like, it's like if anybody went to the University of Utah, you just kind of like them a little bit more because you have connection. So I have this connection, even though it's a little bit distant, to the Duffer brothers. And I think they're actually extremely talented filmmakers. And they've done a really, really great job. But there are still some problems with this show, but I did love it. And I did that. If they were to cut it down, cause this could probably have been 4 episodes. And if they were to have done that, I think it would have been a better season as well. You don't have to have 8 episodes. Like you don't have to do that. And I think that's a problem too, is like, people feel like, oh no, we've got to get the 8 or whatever it is. I mean, maybe they thought they needed that much time, but I just don't think they needed that much time.
Yeah, especially if every episode's going to be 90 minutes or 2 hours. It's like, well then, yeah.
Just shorten them. Like, and especially this season, like I really did like Derek, right? Like the
Derek. I like Derek.
Great. He was a great character. Even though the Holly, I didn't really love Holly. I couldn't connect with Holly.
I think a way too short in the season. My number one note would be like, get rid of Holly. Like,
yeah,
it's too late in the run of the show to be doing like a really committed storyline with a character that like we're just sort of getting to know.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think, if anything, just reduce her role. Cause it did feel, I don't know, if it almost felt like a backdoor pilot, you know, even though that's not what they're doing, but it felt like Holly was just kind of like, it's hard for me to connect to this character and why are we showing her so much? But I loved the opening of this season with the Demogorgon coming and trying to get Holly. I thought that was actually really great, but some cool stuff of the season, but.
I think it's fine if a Demogorgon comes and gets Holly. And like, I'm fine with the whole storyline of Vecna kidnapping a bunch of kids and using them as like some kind of, I don't really get how the mechanics of it work. And that's problem too, is there's just, whatever. I don't really understand like what Vecna's powers are or how they work. Sometimes Vecna is like incredibly formidable and really scary. Yeah. And sometimes he seems really inept and like stupid. And it seems really inconsistent and like random when he's like randomly weak and like, or dumb, or, you know, and sometimes he's like, he seems ever present and everywhere. And, you know, and but I'm fine with him like having some sort of plan to like kidnap a bunch of little kids. Yeah, yeah.
The kids.
Yeah. Like we just know that the kids are somewhere and our main characters are, their goal for the season is to get the kids back and destroy Vecna. And like, I'm fine with that being the storyline. It's just, we spent so much time with Holly, and I agree with you. Yeah. When I watched the first four episodes of the season before, you know, the break, was like, I'm into it. Watched them all. There was a lot that I enjoyed in different little parts. I enjoyed the first half a lot more than the second half. The second half, I really did feel like I just was kind of like, let's go.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of like writing tropes that started to escalate in this season that I definitely noticed in the first half of the season. And this is something that's been in the show on and off, but the amount of times they went back to it, every time it would happen, we would be like, no way they're doing this again. And it's this thing. It's okay. You guys listen, this is Vecna. This is the mind flayer. This is the hive mind. This is Dimension X. Those scenes, especially in the back half of the fifth season, happen so frequently. Every time a new one would happen, I would look at Olivia and go like, they're doing it again. No way. Like, they just did this. And she would be like, this is so, like, we were just like, I can't believe how many times they're doing this.
True.
And I will say this about the last episode. They don't do it in the last episode. And I was like, waiting for it. I was like, when are they going to do the, this is this conversation. But I was like, no, they already did it. They already got all their planning out of the way and all of their explaining to the audience how things work,
you know,
out of the way.
The thing that they did do a ton of in the last episode, which I was like, man, they just keep doing this shot, was where they would have the camera on one person, you know, like Jonathan, and then it pulls back and it reveals Nancy, and then it pulls back and reveals like, you know, Steve or something. And they did that so many times where like one person would stand and then the next person stands into the frame. And it's a great shot, but they used it so much. I was like, wow, it's a lot. It's a lot to use this shot that you usually only use maybe once or twice.
And they use it a lot of
six or seven times.
Yeah. There are a lot of like you talked about the visual look of this season and how it looks. And I agree, but there are still a lot of like the images that are going around online, like this image of like L jumping into the mouth of the mind. Like there are images that by themselves are, you know, like the party walking toward this like hand and that are like epic and cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the show's always been good for like a few good images and a few, but I just found it to be, you're right. Repeating things a lot. Just weird editing choices. Like in the last episode, the whole fake, the Steve death fake out where they just cut to black for 3 seconds. And I was like, guys, we don't have a commercial break. Like there's, it's Netflix and also it's movie theaters. And yeah, Steve falls off the tower and they cut to black, and then they just like it's at black for like maybe three or four. And then it comes back and Jonathan catches him, and I was like, what was that, you guys? Yeah.
I thought that same thing. I was like, you usually don't do that, just cut to black. Like,
and if you do cut to black, you go to something else when you come back from black. Like, and then the mystery is left to the audience of like what happened when Steve just fell.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to that later. But the fact that it just like cut to black, then came back like to just the next moment, it was like, yeah, so you didn't need to do that. Like, you could have just
no. But, and my biggest criticism, because they get into Dimension X and they get there, and I think this is a lot of people's problems, is there's no Demogorgons, right? Like
no Demodogs, no Demogorgons, no Demobats, and we are told that this is like the home planet of these things.
Yeah.
The Duffer Brothers explanation for this was, well, he didn't know they were coming. And I was like, yeah, but the second he does see them, they're a hive mind, they should show up. But
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it didn't bother me a ton, but I would have liked to have seen that. I think it could have been really cool. But they did say, yeah, the Duffers said that it was a surprise, so they couldn't get them. They also said that there's not like a ton of those things just running around, which I get as well. If you're on a planet, I mean, if we get a bunch of lions, you got to go to a place to specifically get two lions, right? Like, they're not just hanging around in Utah. But I mean, they've obviously got to be close enough to be somewhere.
Well, and on, like I heard that today, that little like plot hole of like where, but I was also like, cool, I see that. And also personally, the last thing I wanted to see at the end of the show was like another Demogorgon fight with these kids. At least them fighting the Mind Flayer in this new form is something else.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and having Nancy Myers go like full Rambo on it.
It's
like, it's something else.
Yeah.
And I agree with the plot hole that it's like, well, they probably should be there, or like the plot contrivance, let's call it. Like it probably makes more sense if they are there, but I'm also like, I don't necessarily want to see yet another, like,
I agree,
like, you know, heightening of the, and we've used the Demogorgons and Demodogs plenty of times in this season. Yeah, yeah. And, you know,
And it wasn't the biggest problem for me. I mean, I bought into it. I thought, I mean, they go, you know, did you like the Mind Flayer, how it looked? What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I did. I liked the design of it. I was surprised that like the fortress that he was in turned out to be the body of the, I thought that was a cool kind of reveal. Mm-hmm. And some people have online, I've seen their takes be like, I like it more as like an amorphous, like, entity that where you can't, it's undefined. But I think those people are forgetting that even in season 3 we got to see more of a defined look at its its body.
So I
kind of liked this like evolution of it. I thought, you know, like, again, just from like an image standpoint, it was like pretty cool creature design. You know, pretty cool kaiju. You know, but yeah, I also like, I don't know, like my brain sort of glazes over it. Just I'm just sort of like, yeah, sure, big computer animated, like,
yeah,
guy.
It is hard too, because bigger in scale doesn't necessarily mean better for story. And that's a big problem with stories in general. Oh, we got to go bigger. So what do? We have a bigger monster. Like, okay, well, that doesn't necessarily mean better. I liked the look of the Mind Flayer. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool ending. I thought the way that they do kill Vecna, you know, the funny thing, the way that they kill Vecna felt a little rushed, which is funny because everything else has been dragged out.
Oh, totally.
As far as when they like put him on the spike, right? Like,
yeah,
put him on the tooth or whatever. I was like, oh, that could have used a little bit more time. But then when Joyce comes out and she does actually chop his head off with the axe, I felt that was actually pretty, I thought that was a pretty good way to fully end things, you know, and kind of like give that, cause I said, I was like, they better cut his head off or something. I said that to my son. He's like, he's not dead. And it ultimately ended up doing that. So I thought that was a good way to kind of finalize that part of it. you know.
Yeah, but as we've discussed, then the episode goes on for another hour after the action portion of the show is concluded. And like you said, it's like, this is the Duffers just saying, hey, indulge us here. We've just given you 5 years of like this very iconic TV show. We're going to take our time saying goodbye to all these characters in this place, and we're not going to rush it. My problem with that is like, they take all this time, but they don't use the time to actually like fill us in on like a lot of details that I think a lot of people are curious about, where it's like, okay, when we last left you, as the Upside Down was being blown up and Elle was sacrificing herself, the military had a hold of you. Linda Hamilton and the military had a hold of you. What happened? Did they just say, like, once the Upside Down was gone, they're like, all right, well, you guys are free to go. Like, and they're just like, all right, well, we're out of here. Like, did they just, like, what? And I think that, you know, it could have been interesting if Paul Reiser's character from season three or four, like, he never died. Like, if he comes back,
did he die or not? I can't remember.
No, I don't think he did. And if he comes back with like the good military and they take out Linda Hamilton's black ops secret people for, you know, whatever, and they arrest, I don't know. It's like some kind of option of somebody swoops in to wrap that, because that's a completely unresolved plot point. That's just like, cool, you dealt with Vecna, but there have always been two villains in this show. The one is the monsters from the Upside Down, and the two is the monsters who created the Vecna and the Hawkins laboratory and these scientists and the military and stuff. And we don't deal with that conflict. We just sort of flash forward to 18 months later, and it's like, it's all fixed now. And there's so many questions. It's like, wait, so most of the people in Hawkins thought that Hop was dead, that he was not alive anymore. Then like the military just lets him go. And then all the people in Hawkins are like, oh, you might as well be chief of police again. He's just kind of like, there's all this stuff that happens in the 18 month span. Robin breaks up with Vicky, Ginny.
What is her name? I forget Vicky. The nurse's name. I think it's Vicky. But yeah, she's you never see her again after the military finds Max.
Yeah.
She's gone. She's never talked about again.
And it just, I just am like, why? There's a lot of weird breakups off screen. Dustin had a girlfriend who he famously sang Somewhere Out There with in like season three or something. Mm-hmm. And she was a big part of the show.
Season four.
And then she's just gone. And you would think for a character like Dustin, like part of the reason why he's very depressed in season five, and it's because his friend died. It's because, but also like maybe he's depressed because his girlfriend dumped him. And like, that's a hard thing for a kid like Dustin, who like feels like a nerd and feels like an outcast. Like this feels like something that you can put into the plot, but they're just sort of like, don't worry about it. He doesn't have a girlfriend anymore. And it doesn't, you know, and there's just a lot of stuff like that, that like, by the time we flash forward to 18 months later, I'm like, okay, like when did Robin break up with her girlfriend? What happened with the military? There's a lot of these questions that I'm like, if you're going to take an extra hour to wrap everything up, wrap it up. But instead they just sort of have these long scenes where once again, they're letting it feels like it's more for the actors and the Duffer brothers than it is for us. It feels like it's more about them just being like these young actors being like, this was a really big chunk of our lives, like working on this show together. So you got like Steve and John, Jonathan and Nancy and Robin, like the more grown up kids on a rooftop drinking beers and just crying and looking at each other. And then it's right, obviously, to end in Mike's basement. That's right.
Right.
And that's I'm like, this is where we should go. But then once again, this is a scene that is just like, it's so long and indulgent and everyone's crying so much. And everyone's like, every time we cut to one of their faces, they're like, and it's we're doing so much of it. And I'm just kind of like, we just I'm with you. Like, this is where it should end, but let's go. And so I just feel like the time isn't, it's like, by all means, take an extra hour to wrap everything up if you want, but actually like, give me some information here. Don't just have it be an hour of characters kind of looking at each other like, we really did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like, we just made a really cool TV show, guys. Like, yeah. You know, I felt like I was watching them, like the actual people in real life, just like cry about the fact that they're sad that this job is over.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but
yeah, it's hard. It's hard, man, to end a show. And I'm
being really hard on it. And the truth is, like, my feeling is like, it's fine. Like, it's not like a bad ending that ruins the show. It's like a perfectly serviceable ending, you know?
Yeah. I think it's, it is hard. I think the biggest problem, one thing that could, which this is never going to happen. Studios are never going to let this happen. But you should have, if you make a TV show, unless it's a sitcom or something that just can just go on forever, you know, is very episodic or whatever. If you make a show like this, like Stranger Things, that's much more character driven, much more of a, you know, character arcs and change and all that, much more of like a movie. You need to know what the ending is before you even start making the show. Doesn't mean you can't make some tweaks and changes, but you should, if your show only needs to be two seasons, just have it be two seasons. If it needs four, have it be four. Whatever you need it to be, you should have an ending in mind. Because I think with movies, the thing about movies is that everything is culminating to the end of that movie. So everything works. And that's how a season of TV works. That's why you can have great season endings for TV shows, right? Like, oh man, season one ended really, really well. I loved it. Season two is great. Like all these seasons end really well.
Yeah.
But then the series finale is never really satisfying because it hasn't been working towards this ending. You're either retconning it or you're trying to wrap everything up in a nice bow. And if it wasn't set up that way in the first place, it just feels empty and unearned. Whereas a movie, that's what you're working towards. That's what the characters' motivations, that's what the characters, all their themes and everything is working towards this ending to wrap everything up. And it's just so hard to do that with a TV show. So just think of the end before you even start and have that as a requirement to make a TV show. I think we'd have a lot better endings. But again, going to happen.
Well, and it can be like a soft where you're like, this is where, like, you tell your writer's room, like, this is where we're heading. We don't have it all. It's not scripted. It's not written, but this is where we're heading. So everything should be in service of like getting us to that destination, you know? But a great example of that done wrong and that done well by the same guy is Damon Lindelof, you know, gets brought up onto Lost by, you know, executive producer,
J.J. Abrams.
And they, you know, they basically throw just everything at the canvas for the pilot because they don't think ABC is going to pick this up. It's a massive runaway hit pilot, but they put all this crap in the pilot, like a polar bear and a smoke monster and all this stuff that they were like, we don't think we're going to have to pay any of this off because no one's going to watch this weird show. And admittedly, they've talked about this extensively on so many different podcasts. They like didn't like once the show was a massive hit, they told ABC, we think we can get to four seasons. Like, we think that we can do four. And then ABC was like, we want seven. And they were like, and they settled on six. They just, you could feel it in the later seasons of that show that they were just like, what do we do to stretch the runtime? And this is back with like 22 episode seasons.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of television that they had to fill out. Flash forward to, Damon Lindelof does another show with like a central kind of mystery box thing to it. But this time he tells HBO, I've got a story that is three seasons long. I know the beginning, middle, and end of my story, and it's The Leftovers. And The Leftovers is another one of my like favorite shows of the last 20 to 30 years. And it's another show where like the ending is kind of divisive for some people, but it is an ending that I think works with the rest of the show. And I find it very satisfying because he doesn't try to answer all of the questions that you have about,
right.
And I'm glad because You know, do you know like the basic premise of The Leftovers?
Yeah, was it 33% or 33% of the population just disappears or something like that?
I think it's like 14%. It's like
a small percentage.
It's a significant,
yeah, significant amount
of people, but they just disappear. And then the central question of the show is like, where'd everybody go? And the show gives you just enough answers for you to be like, okay, I'm glad I like kept watching to see that. Yeah. But you also are like, I hope they never tell me like it was aliens or it was the rapture or what.
Yeah.
Like we still want that central mystery of like what happened to kind of be like, we're probably never going to know that because it's a show. Ultimately, it's a show about grief and what people want when someone is suddenly gone. A lot of times is like, I just want to know like what happened, you know, where'd they go and what, you know, and, you know, like sometimes it's just better to just go like, we're just never actually going to like fully be able to tell you where. Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing is you have to just sort of accept it and move on with your life. And, and then also Damon Lindelof does the Watchmen series, which is just a limited series. And he's learned his lesson to go, I'm no longer going to, you know, pursue projects without knowing the full story I'm trying to tell in advance, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I think looking back, it feels like Stranger Things Volume 1, as atmospheric and cool as it was, feels like the Duffer Brothers were kind of going like, we're not necessarily sure what our cosmology is here for all of this stuff, for like what the Upside Down actually is or where we want to go with it. But like, we also feel like the door is very wide open for us to figure that out as we go.
Yeah.
And I think that they did a decent job of like making the pieces mostly fit. There are definitely a lot of things at the end of the show in season 5 where you're like, well, you kind of had to just retcon that thing, or you kind of had to just forget about that thing,
or
you know, or pretend that you never said that. And but like for the most part, with a show that has a lot of lore and a lot of like, you know, they did a good job to find an ending where like the audience can be happy about where all of their favorite characters end up.
Yeah.
And they give the team a happy ending for the most part. And
yeah,
you know, I think that it's pretty, to me, it's pretty clear that L is alive. People feel like it's ambiguous. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think it's ambiguous.
Actually, maybe we should talk about that real quick because I do think she's alive, but I almost don't want her to be. I know that sounds horrible, but I felt like it almost would have been better to have it end with her making that sacrifice. Now, it's not proven, but there's, in my mind, there's no other way that she would have gotten out of the truck without being seen.
Right.
Like, so I think she is alive. I think it would have been better if they made it much less ambiguous, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. What did you think? You think she's alive, but did you like that? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's like, whatever. Like that, to me, it's, again, it's like, I just feel like this show missed so many opportunities, not just in the last season, but in several seasons, to be like, be bold and kill some of these main character kids off, you know, like, or like they didn't even like stick with, I feel like they just figured everyone would forget that Max was blind after she woke up.
I know, that's time. What I thought too.
Yeah. And then Max comes back and is just like, nah, let's not even mention the fact that I was blind, you know?
Yeah.
Also, like, I love that this season tried to bring in the Wheeler parents, like the parents who have been kind of aloof the entire show. They were like, we're going to bring you into the world in a really big way because they're going to like, they're going to come into your house. But what they do is like the mom becomes a bigger pet player. Yeah. But the dad, who also gets like knocked across the room by a Demogorgon, is just gone for the rest of the show. Yeah. And I was like, did he die? And then he's just at the end of the show. He's just at graduation. Like, I'm still here. And I'm just like, well, where'd you go? I was like,
didn't they even kill off this guy? Like, why?
Yeah. Kill. I was literally like, commit to killing the dad. Like we can kill Mike and Nancy's dad, can't we? Like that gives them, you know,
it's something. Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt like that. I don't know. I just feel like the show throughout its run always killed characters that it was like the saddest one was Eddie, but everyone else was kind of like, nah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody points to Barb and like, yeah, that was sad because.
But we hardly knew her.
But Eddie is the one that we actually made a connection with.
Yeah,
his death was definitely the hardest. And
like they did Barb dirty for sure.
Yeah,
like,
well,
because then we like find out the rules of the show, and it's like, why'd you kill Barb? You don't seem to kill anyone else that you.
I know that's the thing. Like, yeah, okay, like you went for it with Barb. Why didn't? I mean, you could have. And then what's his name? He's the Russian guy in season 3. He was like,
oh yeah,
Alexakov or something like that.
That's the other, speaking of that guy, that's the other character that I'm just like, I just could not stand all of season 5 is Murray. Really? Murray's just one of those characters where I'm like, why is Murray just tacked onto the team now? Like, we're not even supposed to like Murray. Like, Murray is, and it's just, I just feel like every time they would cut to Brett Gelman saying some like quippy, I just was like, why are you here? Yeah. Get out of here. Like, just, or like, somebody kill Murray, please.
I liked Murray is just too much.
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing. He needs to be in small doses, overused in season 5 for sure. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. Like, I just felt like, but again, as we've said, it's really hard to do something this massive. You can only almost imagine like the debates going on in the writer's room for people advocating for the ways that, you know, you could get away with certain things and then trying to find a way to just be like, what's a story that seems to wrap up as many things as we possibly can and gives all of our characters like a really epic final showdown and a nice place to land afterward. Yeah. And I think all things considered, like they do a pretty good job, you know?
Yeah.
But like we said, the thing is like, there's going to be a spinoff and there's going to be a movie and there's going to be and it's going to be one of those things like the X-Files or something where it's like, they're going to just keep coming back to this. And then eventually it's just going to feel like that fifth and final season never really even happened.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Yeah.
What do you think your order of seasons is? That seems to, everybody seems to be liking to rank these, but what do you think your order is?
I'd probably go 1, 2, 4, 3, 5.
Okay, nice.
So almost in order.
Yeah. I would go. My favorite is season 1. Mm-hmm. Least favorite is season 5. 2, 3, and 4. It probably, like, they seem to switch. So whatever it is, I'd probably either be the same as yours, because maybe it'd be 1, 4, 2, 3, 5. But then, like, I liked 3 and 2 as well. So I don't know. It'd be somewhere in there. But 1 and 5 are first and last. So.
I think I just like the kids being, like, younger. And that, nobody clipped that and put that on the me saying I like the kids.
Out of context.
I just like the kids being younger. You know what I mean? But just like story wise, like I just connect with those kids like more when they're like little kids than when they're like these like 25-year-olds playing 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah.
It is. It's hard because that's what makes the Goonies so great, right? It's kids. You can relate to it. Like, oh man, when I was a kid, I would have loved to have gone on that adventure. That's another kind of problem with the show is as they get older, it's kind of, I mean, it is a coming of age story overall. Seasons 1 through 5 is really coming of age. And it's hard when they get older and older, because it's just less and less connection with that inner child that they're going after, right? So.
Yeah. So yeah, I think most people would agree that like season 1 is like a pretty, pretty iconic season of television. There were so many things about that season that became instantly iconic. There were so many images that became instantly, but I do feel like a lot of characters and ideas with characters, rather than characters growing and changing, they just sort of became recycled tropes of themselves to the point where, you know, like Joyce Byers in season 1 was a very interesting, complex character. And by season 5, she's just not. She's just there. And she's just like mom looking at her son being like, whoo, like the entire season. And it's like, but she was much more interesting and emotionally complex in the first season. And I think a lot of these characters, like I, you know, there's only a couple of the kid actors who I think grew up into like good actors. I think Joe Keery was always a good actor.
Yes.
I think Maya Hawke's a good actor. And I think Gaten Maserati, is a good actor. Maserati. That's not right. But a lot of these kids, and you know, I found them more like intriguing or compelling when they were younger.
you can kind of, you know, with younger actors, you give them a little more leeway, you know?
Yeah. But I kind of thought they were like better actors when they were kids. I don't know. Like they were like, they were like really charming and cute and funny. And like, I don't know. I just kind of found them obnoxious in the last couple seasons.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe that's just aging, right? Is that like everyone thinks that we're cute and funny and charming when we're little kids, and then you go through puberty and everyone's like, ugh, get out of here.
You become an adult and everyone hates you.
Go like, pay some bills. Yeah. Go make yourself useful. Yeah, you know, stop playing with your stupid dolls. I also, let's get into scores, but I also just want to mention one more thing is how it's like, it's season 5 of this show. It's been going on in 6 years of like crazy stuff happening in Hawkins that it can't just be noticed by this one gang of kids. The fact that like everyone in this show is always like, what are you talking about? Whenever someone like tells them about, I'm like, you remember like the giant earthquake, how your whole town like opened up and there was like
the military came in. Yeah.
Yeah. There was like a terrifying red abyss in the cracks. And then the military came in and like filled the cracks in and like took over your town and quarantined it. Nobody should be questioning anybody. And like early on when Holly's like talking to Mike about monsters and Mike's like, monsters don't exist, Holly. I'm like, Mike, what are you talking about? Anyway, but yeah, that's Stranger Things. It's, you know, it's in many ways iconic. It's ostensibly finished. Although I'm sure we will see spinoffs and movies and the lore continue because, why not? There's money to be made. Our scores for this show, the way that we're going to do this is we're going to give, for some of these, we're going to give a score for just season 5 and then also a score for the entire show. And for some of them, like, it's just like the ending score is just the ending because there's only one ending. But yeah, we give ratings on this show for our scores for technical achievement, you know, writing, cinematography, acting, all that stuff. The end, rewatchability, cultural impact, and our subjective score. So Kramer, what is your technical rating for Stranger Things season 5 and the whole show?
Season 5, I am giving a 7, and I'm being a little generous there because I think ending a show like this is really hard. So they were able to tie up a lot of loose ends. They were able to make things that were satisfying. So I think there's something to be said about that. The reason I'm taking off most of the points is because the look, and it's too drawn out. Everything was just too drawn out. It was just too long, little too much indulgence, like we talked about. So, but I mean, still, like, yeah, you gotta it's a good ending for a show of this magnitude.
Yeah.
And then for the series as a whole, I'm giving a 9 because I love the look of it. I love the practical effects, some of the practical effects in the first season and then how they evolved it in the second seasons. It was always really interesting. The look always looked really great, except for in the last season. And, you know, a lot of the acting when they were younger was great and story was very original. Just everything kind of went in really, really well.
Yeah, I gave it technically a 6, which I think is really generous given how hard I've been on it.
I see it.
But I think I enjoyed it more than it sounds like I did. Like, I really did think it was like, that's fine. That's perfectly serviceable. It didn't like, I didn't like hate it. I didn't, you know, I just, there was a lot that I was like, yeah, you can definitely, there's a lot to criticize here if you want. Mm-hmm. And I think I get like, technically most of what I'm giving it is like for season five is like the show has always had a pretty cool vibe. And that's why like my overall series score, it was, I originally wrote it 7 and I was like, oh, 6-7. But then I was like, no, 7's not, it's not high enough. I bumped it up to an 8.5. So I'm 6. Nice. And then for the whole show, 8.5. And like, honestly, everything you said, like this show from early on had great vibes. One thing we didn't talk about is we talked about how many different things were iconic, but like every time the title sequence for this show plays, I'm like immediately locked in.
Totally.
And I never skip the intro. Oh, anyone who watches Stranger, I never skip the Stranger Things intro. It's the only show that I watch that I always watch the intro. And I just, there's something about like the synthy soundtrack throughout the entire show.
Love it.
The chapter titles, the going through the, I just like, I like, there's something about the energy of it that I'm always like, it gets me locked in. It gets me hyped, even if I'm, you know, so I've got to give them props for building a world that I was always like ready and eager and willing to come back to every time they released a new season. Totally. So how about the ending? And obviously this only has one score because there's only one ending.
Yeah. The ending, I'm giving a 7, and again, being a little generous there, 'cause it was, I felt like it was a satisfying ending to Vecna, and it was satisfying as a whole. Like every ending of the season was great, except for 5, which was, you know, it was like, okay, you did a good job in ending something this big. So I feel like a 7. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't anything that I got really mad that makes the show worse for me. Even though, yes, it could be better. It could, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they could do, but what they had, I think they did a very decent job.
I'm giving the ending a 5. And I think it's just like, because for me, and again, it's like, I agree with you. It doesn't ruin the show for me, but I just don't find anything here that's like, wow, that was really cool. Or that was, so I'm just kind of like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not like giving it like it's just like right in the middle where I'm like, you know, like that works as an ending, but I'm probably letting some of my subjective feelings slide in there of just like how I'm like, I just was hoping for a little bit more. Yeah. And I also, boy, just the indulgences really got to me. The like lingering way too, because some of these, like I said, I'm like, I think it's right to end with them playing D&D in Mike's basement. I just was like, get off these kids' faces while just like move, just let's go, you know?
Yeah.
I would have been more emotionally affected, honestly, if they hadn't cried. Like if the kids had just sort of looked at each other and then like,
kind of like, took it in. Yeah.
And like passed it on to the next generation and just been like, and then just left. I think I would have been more emotional, but like having all of them be like, I just was like, you're ruining it for me. Like you're let me feel it. You guys.
I get it.
Rewatchability.
All right. Rewatchability for season 5. I'm giving a 6. Some cool stuff, but it's hard to think about rewatching it like I could any of the other seasons, just because it is a little too indulgent. But still, some great stuff in there. Now, the series as a whole, I'm giving a 9 because I could rewatch 1 through 4 and have a great time. I mean, I could rewatch 5 as well. So, but the one taking off 1 is kind of for season 5 being a little too indulgent and looking a little less like the rest of the series.
Yeah, I gave season 5 a 3 because I'm just sort of like, I don't, if I ever do a Stranger Things rewatch, I probably will just leave it at 4. But I gave the rest of the show a 9, and mostly because of season 1. And honestly, season 1 and 2, I'm like, I'm totally fine with that 1-2 punch. Season 3 and 4 is like when we start building into like the Vecna stuff. And I just think that a lot of people really like Vecna, and I just never cared. I just was always like, oh, I was more interested in like the Upside Down as this more like alien place.
I agree.
You know, and so Vec, I don't know, but
I see what you're talking about
for sure. I think that like those first couple seasons are like very, very watchable. And it's not like Game of Thrones where I'm like, why would I even go back and rewatch when I know where it's all leading to? Because I know that like I can get to the ending and be like, that's fine.
You know?
How about cultural impact?
I mean, a 10. It has, for me, it has to be a 10.
There's no other answer.
No, there's no other answer. I mean, it's crazy to have a show like this. I mean, it premiered and there was like nothing. Nobody, you know, it was purely off of word of mouth and it spread like crazy, right? And the way that they were able to blend 80s movies so you could get people in nostalgia, but also have my son, who's 12 years old, watch it and just absolutely love it and, you know, be interested in those things, but also have it feel current. It's pretty amazing what they were able to do. I mean, they're obviously ripping off 80s movies, but it never felt like it was completely ripping it off. It always felt like they were inspired by it and then adding a little twist, which made it feel more fresh and it made it feel something that wasn't annoying. Like, well, you just ripped off that movie, you know, like it was always something great. So I don't know how they did it. And it's obviously going to impact media for a long, long time to come.
Yeah, it's the right way to do an homage. I mean, it's similar to like when you're watching like the Rian Johnson Knives Out movies or something where you're like, this guy very clearly is a fan of this form and he's homaging a lot of tropes in the form, but he's also doing his own thing with it and making, you know, and it's like, that's where you like, that's what makes the show so special is like, obviously there's a lot of things that they're sort of taking inspiration from, but they're definitely doing, they're making their own lore with it and giving it their own spin and updating it in a really fun way. And it's just, it's a cultural mammoth. There's no other answer, but 10, sorry. There's no other answer, but 4 fewer than the most you can give it.
Exactly.
What's your subjective score?
My subjective score for the season is a 7. Again, being generous, I think it was fun to watch it with my son. It was fun to see him. And also, like, we started watching it like in June was when he first watched it. And then we got to watch this season together for the most part. And watching the finale was a lot of fun with him. And so having that experience, I think, helped me a lot as well, because I got to do that with my son. And then Stranger Things as a whole show, my subjective score is a 9. It's not a perfect score just because it's so hard to end a show like this, but everything else about it is pretty mind blowing what they were able to do.
Yeah. My subjective score for season 5 is 4. I just personally was just I wanted a lot more from it. I just wanted them to like really surprise me or what, you know, and I just, as I was watching it, I just kind of kept going like, yep. And then that, and then there were a lot of things where I just was like, are you going to explain? Nope, you're not going to explain. All right, whatever. Who cares? You know, explain to me what the goo rooms are, whatever. There's goo rooms now. and then my score for the entire series is 6.5, maybe 7, maybe I go up to 7. I really like that first season. And then I just feel like from there, it's kind of just like hit and miss, you know? Yeah. And so I can't like as a total piece of work, I'm like, I recognize what a cultural mammoth it is. I recognize how many aspects of it are iconic. I'm impressed by what they're able to do. But there's, for me, there's just like a lot there that's like missing from making it great for me.
Right.
Yeah. And okay, those are our thoughts. We are into a new year. So let us know what you thought about Stranger Things. Let us know what you thought about our analysis. But we are going to be up next. We're going to give you our kind of personal breakdowns of films that we saw in 2025. We're a little bit late to this, but we're going to do like 5 best, 5 worst, and 5 films that maybe you overlooked. So keep an eye out for that. And then we're going to be doing, like we did last year, our predictions for the biggest films of 2026, what we think, how we think they're going to fare with critics, with audiences, with the box office, all that good stuff. So stay tuned. That's what's up next. And we will see you then.
Bye-bye.